Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Welcome into the Dynasty Dugout Show. This is Thursday, February the 6th. We are one day closer to spring training, and we are back today to talk more shortstop prospects. Last episode, we did shortstop prospects 1 through 10. Feel free to go check those out. You can check it out on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform, wherever you subscribe. Please do so. As always, this episode is brought to you by Connect Roasters, Ian Happ's coffee company. You can go to connectroasters.com and get his gold glove blend. Buy one, get one 50% off. That's great coffee. I can assure you of that. I'm a coffee connoisseur, and Connect Roasters makes an incredible, smooth cup of coffee. The Gold Glove blend is excellent. I'd encourage you to check it out. Find the link in the description or use the code DynastyDugout at checkout for buy one, get one 50% off. All right, let's dive in on the action here. Shortstop prospects 11 and moving forward, quite a bit of them. Most of these guys are in my top 100. Loaded group. But right off the top, we have Jacob Wilson. Jacob Wilson's certainly an interesting player. First rounder for the A's, top 10 pick in 2023, pushed aggressively, and now ultimately is the shortstop with the big league team. When I look at Jacob Wilson, it's kind of fascinating profile, and you may wonder, like, well, why is he so high? Well, the contact is elite to start. I mean, we're looking at, in the minors, 94% overall contact and 98% end zone, which is just insane. And then the majors, pretty good too, 87% overall, 92% end zone contact. So still really, really good there. You look, he's one of the few, I think he's the only minor league hitter to play substantial time in the minors and have a 400 batting average. It's really good contact skills. Unfortunately, in his first MLB game last year, Wilson got hurt, strained his hamstring, or he would have graduated prospect status and we wouldn't be talking about him. It's a pretty aggressive approach. He swings often. He chases a decent bit, 37% chase rate in the majors, but it kind of is negated by the fact he makes so much contact. The power numbers aren't good at all. The questions are, can he hit for enough power and can he lift the ball enough to make it even relevant? So Wilson is fascinating. Like when I look at this profile, I don't know how it plays out, but ultimately the reality is that Jacob Wilson is really, really good at short and he's really, really good at making contact. He's going to play well in a points league, which if you play in a points league fantasy baseball format, he'll play great there. On the flip side, we have an upside play in Felton Celston of the Seattle Mariners. Celston will be 19 this year. He missed the 2023 season after signing due to injury, and he missed some time last year with injury too, which is a little bit concerning. Hamstring's been an issue to this point, but Celston went on the field really, really good. He got 144 plate appearances at the complex last year. He slashed 352, 431, 568. He had 3 home runs and 5 stolen bases. He's much bigger than his listed 6'1". There's a ton of projection on the frame, but he already has shown really, really good exit velocities. In that small sample last year, Celston had a 104 mile an hour ninth percentile exit velocity. That's already approaching and above MLB average. He was 18 years old. The contact rate's rather good too, 77% overall, 82% end zone, and the approach looked good against complex level pitching, 22% chase rate. The biggest flaw is the ground balls. He had a 65% ground ball rate and a 2-degree launch angle. Those things are going to have to be fixed in order for Celston to actually get to his power in game. When you pound everything on the ground, it doesn't necessarily matter how hard you hit it. Obviously, the harder the hit ball, the more likely it is to turn into hits. But you'd like to see Celston lift the ball because if he does, then all of a sudden we're looking at pretty good home run potential with some sneaky stolen base potential as well. Jet Williams, New York Mets. He missed almost all of the 2024 season. He came back in August and then went to the AFL. He's a unique player. He's very small. He's listed at 5'6", probably accurate, 5'6", 175. He is a speedster, so really quick, good glove. He's going to stick up in the middle, whether it's shortstop or center field. I've seen Jet Williams play both. It's a really interesting profile. I don't know how much power he gets to. The exit velocities have been around, like, slightly below average. I mean, you just look at somebody like that and you don't expect him to get to much power, but I've also seen Jet hit some pretty big home runs in person. The 102.5 mile an hour 90th percentile is fine. Like, that's a pretty good mark, especially considering his age and his height. I don't know. I look at this profile, and maybe he becomes a 15 to 18 home run type, but he's going to steal bags. Like, that's for certain. It's a 30 to 40 steal type with a really good feel to hit. I know you look at the batting average last year after he came back, and it's not great, but really good chase rates, really good contact rates. I look at this profile, and I think that Jett's going to be a major leaguer. He's probably going to be an everyday major leaguer. But whether it's at shortstop, whether it's at center field, second base, probably still to be determined. But I do like Jett's profile a lot. Colson Montgomery has fallen off a bit. Injuries have kind of been the story of his career. White Sox shortstop prospect we thought would have already debuted at this point, but Colson missed time with a back injury in 2023. In 2024, he had played with a gash on his hand, which is kind of interesting. Never healed. He struggled to grip the bat. He got healthy, went to the AFL. He mashed for a couple weeks. They sent him home. I think there's a legit shot that Colson Montgomery is the everyday shortstop out of spring training for the Chicago White Sox. That's the kind of player we're talking about. You know, you look at the numbers. Yeah, 214 average isn't great, but a 329 OBP and a 381 slug. He had 18 homers. He had 42 extra base hits. All that while dealing with a hand issue. The exit velocities are above average, a 104.5 ninth percentile and a 114 max. The contact rates are closer to average. But Colson's a good athlete. Yeah, I think people have always said he's going to move off short. I think he can stick at shortstop. I've seen him in action at short plenty and think he's pretty good. If he has to go to third base, the bat will play there. I'd expect a big season from Colson Montgomery in 2025, and it's likely in the majors. So plenty of pop. He's not going to run much, but there's a decent field to hit and good on-base skills. Aiden Miller, Philadelphia Phillies. Aiden Miller is a fascinating prospect. He was drafted, obviously, last year or in 2023, came up, had a tremendous 2024. He went from single A all the way to double A by season's end, slash 261, 366, 446, had 11 home runs and 45 extra base hits in 102 games. So he was averaging nearly an extra base hit every other game. It's a pretty simple operation in the box. Like I said, direct bat path to ball. You watch Aiden Miller, you got to like what you see. You look under the hood and the data's pretty good. It was a 77% contact rate, 83% end zone, had a 20% chase rate, so he rarely expands the zone. Yeah, I look at this profile as one that could move pretty quickly. The Phillies could continue to push him. Is he going to be in the majors in 2025? No, but he could get a cup of coffee if all goes well. You look and the power's interesting. You see a ninth percentile EV and it looks pretty decent, but the average exit velocity is much lower. A lot of Miller's hardest hit balls are on the ground, which is something to watch. You know, I think that with how often he gets to the poolside, how often that he lifts it, it's not going to be an issue. I think Miller, again, he'll be 20 years old on opening day in 2025. He's going to be in for a really good season. You want to talk about upside? Let's do it. Connor Griffin, Pittsburgh Pirates. Connor Griffin was obviously drafted in the first round in 2024. Some of the loudest tools in the 2024 draft class. He was originally slated to be in the 2025 draft class. He reclassified, graduated a year early, and ultimately, this is a stud in the making. He was a pitcher and had a lot of success on the mound, but also, this was a three-sport athlete in high school. That shows you the kind of athlete we're talking about here. Griffin has bulked up this offseason. If you want to see the video, I'll put it in the YouTube video, so go check that out. You can see the video here I'm talking about, the difference in 5 months. He's gotten jacked, and he's completely changed his swing. Biggest question to the profile was, would he hit enough? There was no denying that speed. He's an elite runner. He stole 85 bases in his senior year of high school, so like every time he got on base, he was stealing. And there's plenty of pop, too. He had 9 home runs. He's got really good exit velocities, and now they should be even better with that strength he's added. I mean, Griffin is the epitome of an elite athlete. Just is what he is. Does he stick at shortstop? No. Does he play center field? It's going to be one of those two, regardless. And Griffin is very optimized already. I can't wait to see him this spring. What I'm really excited to see in game action, I think Connor Griffin could really pop off. He's going to tear up single A, I think. He's going to move pretty quickly. I bet we see him in high A Greensboro as an 18-year-old. Would not shock me a bit. Griffin was compared pretty closely to this guy in the draft. two of the best prep bats in the class last summer. That's Bryce Rainer, who went to the Detroit Tigers. Rainer, another one, he had plenty of success on the mound and with this bat in high school. He was up to the mid-90s on the mound, but ultimately this is a bat that's going to play shortstop, so a big arm over at short will absolutely play. There's a big frame. It's a big power stroke. He gets the Corey Seager comps all the time, hits the ball hard. He's actually a pretty decent runner for a 6'3 frame that he's got. I think he slows down with time. I'm not sure how much he actually runs long term, but the bat is really, really good. Power comes to all fields. You know, there's been some question about contact ability with Bryce Rainer, but I think that that will be okay. Even if he's an average hitter, he's going to have plus or better power, I'd guess. You know, you look at a prospect, I think he could fly up rankings this year. He checks in as my 17th ranked shortstop, but there's plenty of room to grow. This is still a top 70 overall prospect. This shows you the depth here that we're looking at with Bryce Rainer. And I think that Rainer could really pop off and fly up the boards this year. Another one that has flown up boards this offseason, as people have seen more and more of his data that, you know, I got to see during the season, I even got to see him play with Lynchburg, this Angel Janal. Janal is really fascinating. It's a spectacular contact profile. He's on the smaller side when you see him. Last year, he hit 330 with a 379 OBP and a 499 slug with 10 home runs and 52 extra base hits. Stole 25 bases on 30 attempts, and the underlying data supports it. The contact skills, he made contact on over 80% of pitches that he swung at. It was a, I mean, he can be aggressive. I mean, it was an upper 20% chase rate, which is fine. And I think people have asked me about the power. I project him to be a top 25 prospect in 2026 or entering the 2026 season. Like, do you think the power is going to come? Well, I don't think he needs to add much more. We've seen a steady growth for Angel Janal's power and exit velocities. I went back and looked, and in 2022, his ninth percentile was around 98. And then in 2023, it was closer to 100, just north of 100. And this year was just below 103. So we're talking about somebody that was 19, 20 years old, already putting up a ninth percentile exit velocity pretty close to MLB average. The MLB average ninth percentile is around 103.5. So Janal was pretty close to it at age 19, 20 season. That's pretty impressive. Here's the crazy thing, how consistent he is. Switch hitter, he's consistent from both sides of the plate. You know, as a left-handed hitter, where he saw most of his time, it was 328, 387, 474. And he struck out just 13.5% of the time. He did strike out a little more against right-handed bats, but it was still really consistent. It was a 929 OPS with 4 home runs across 108 right-handed at-bats. So that is fascinating. He actually traded in a toe tap for a big leg kick in 2024, and he did not sacrifice any contact with it. And in fact, it did lead to more power, as I mentioned. So Janal, presently a top 50-ish prospect, like, so I'm talking about him, like, he's actually a little bit higher on my list when I published this, just given more video and looking at the data. But I do think that Angel Janal could make a jump in 2025. And we can see that power grow into like 15 home runs. I wouldn't be shocked, with good speed and really good contact.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Talked about Wilbon Francisca, his future teammate, in the second base episode and why he was a potential breakout. So go check out the second base episode. You can see why I love Wilbon Francisca. Here's everybody's favorite, Cooper Pratt, shortstop of the Milwaukee Brewers. He has a very big 6'4", 195 frame. It's a mighty swing. He's a good athlete. He moves well for his size, and he's really good at shortstop too. So Cooper Pratt, people were kind of like, this guy's not going to play shortstop. There's no way that he can play shortstop with this kind of frame. Well, guess what? He handled it gracefully and looked awesome doing it. You know, entering his age 19 season last year, people thought he would get to big home run power just given his frame. That wasn't the case. I mean, his ninth percentile EV was just north of 100 miles an hour, which isn't good. I mean, For his size, especially, we talked about Hinnal being smaller. He was near 103. Pratt was barely north of 100. The power's there. I mean, there's no denying that he can get to that power, and he makes so much contact that I think it can work. And Pratt also steals bases very efficiently. It was 27 stolen bases in 30 attempts. You know, I think at the end of the day, this profile kind of hinges on how much power does Pratt get to. But you watch him, you see the bat speed, you see some of the contact that he makes, and you think, okay, power's got to be coming here. What about Arjun Namala? He actually has pretty good present power. This is a really weird kind of profile. Namala, first-round pick in 2023. There was a lot of hype. He had a small sample at the complex after the draft. He goes to Major League spring training and hits a home run last year. The hype was through the roof, and honestly, like, I was buying into it because it looked good. But there were some issues with the mechanics, swing-wise. And there was people internally with the Jays that believed that he was going to face some struggles, and that was the absolute case. Out of the gate in single A, slashed 167, 280, 306. And guess what? He got sent to the Devils, and they completely overhauled the swing. Reworked everything. He returned to Dunedin, single A, on June 27th, and was much improved. Sure, there were still some, you know, strikeout issues when he came back. He still struck out just under 30% of the time after coming back. But he slashed 265, 331, 564, and he had 13 home runs and 32 extra base hits in 53 games after coming back. I saw Namala. I was in the Florida State League for a week at the end of July, and I got to see him. He got fed a heavy dose of breaking balls and off-speed, and he struggled with them just naturally. And that's going to take some time to improve. Remember, if you don't know, Namala was a cricket player. He's still pretty young to baseball, so that'll be fascinating to see. His contact rate against breakers was 65% in 2024, so we'd like to see that improve. But good fastball hitter. The EVs are good. He had an 89-mile-an-hour average EV, which is really respectable. That's near MLB average already. His 102.3-mile-an-hour ninth percentile was really solid for his age. The most consistent thing with Namala is just finding that groove with a swing, making consistent contact, and having consistent launch angles. But there is a lot to like with Arjun Namala. I think he could pop off really quick, and I would not be shocked. Another player that could absolutely pop off, Emil Morales with the Dodgers, one of the best DSL hitters that we saw. I know I talked about Jesus Mate in the previous episode. Emil Morales was a close second, and honestly, statistically, you could say he was better. Morales had 201 plate appearances in DSL, hit a 194 WRC+. Plus. It was actually the highest marks that we've seen since 2019, which is crazy. 17-year-old, he slashed 342, 478, 691, and he had 14 homers and 12 stolen bases to pair with 11 doubles. Crazier thing is, it took him nearly a month to hit his first home run. He played 32 games after that and had 14 home runs, all 14 of them. Kind of wild. He was on base in 43 of 46 DSL games. He walked as often as he struck out, and he had 20% chase rate, which is really good. Here's the concern with Emil Morales. The contact. There's some serious end zone swing and miss, and against DSL pitching, that's concerning. He had a sub 70% overall contact rate, which you definitely like to see improve, but the power's there. It was a ninth percentile exit velocity near 103, which is really impressive for a 17-year-old. I mean, you look, he put the ball in the air often, 72.5% air percent, which is awesome. The swing's geared for loft. How much contact does he make coming stateside? Think that that will kind of be the question that needs to be answered with Morales. Cole Young, I talked about him in the second base episode, so we'll keep going. What about Morales' teammate, Yohindri Vargas? Vargas is a phenomenal player statistically. He's got a great frame at 6'4", 175. He got $2 million in January 2023. He hit in the DSL, and he hit the complex. He had 7 home runs and 20 extra base hits at the complex with a 328, 423, 529 slash. He's a good athlete. He stole 19 bases. So why am I concerned? Well, the numbers were still really good against complex. So like we look at those DSL stats. They were great. Came stateside, and he did everything you wanted to see out of him. But it was just 4 home runs and 171 plate appearances, but he had a 303, 406, 493 slash. He had 9 doubles and 3 triples. He struck out 23% of the time, though, and there's some concerning contact numbers. You know, it's a little busy pre-swing movement. More than I'd like to see. He's got a big leg kick. He's got a lot of bat waggle pre-swing. But he does have good barrel control. The concern that I have is that, you know, Andre Vargas swung and missed a lot in the zone. Like, his end zone contact rate, I think, was around 73%, which is really, really bad. So the power's there. The athleticism's there. He's got to show an improved feel to hit. But I do still like Andre Vargas. Might look to sell him high in a dynasty league. This guy, though, on the flip side, a great buy low. Jefferson Rojas with the Chicago Cubs. Everybody's completely off on him. He was really hyped coming into the 2024 season. I saw him in 2023 with single-A Myrtle Beach, and he was good. And then he was bad this year. He hit 245, 310, 336, just six home runs. You look under the hood, though, and Jefferson Rojas gives you plenty of reason to still buy into this profile. He made a pretty substantial leap when we're talking ninth percentile exit velocity. It jumped to 102.6 this year, and it was below 100 miles an hour in 2023. So a really good jump and a really good mark for a 19-year-old. The contact rates are extremely strong. He had an 80% overall contact rate on swings in high A, which is really good. Good end zone mark as well. It's interesting. During the first month of the season, he slashed 315, 361, 427. And then he was hit by a pitch in the face. And he ultimately missed some time in August, too, for undisclosed reasons. Gotta wonder if he just wasn't right in the season. But I will gladly hold fast despite the slash line with Jefferson Rojas. And I believe in this profile. I mean, the improvements were tangible under the hood. The results just weren't there. And obviously, the injuries are notable, too. So hold fast. I think you'll be happy you did. This next guy, Franklin Arias, shortstop of the Boston Red Sox. He has every trait you want to see. I mean, he was 18-year-old last year. He checked some boxes in spring training that I want to see. They told me he was going to break out internally. He was one of my three breakout Red Sox prospects last year. And he came to the complex in single A, and he slashed 309, 409, 487. Really impressive. He had 9 home runs, 36 extra base hits, and 372 plate appearances. His ninth percentile exit velocity of 102 was very strong for his age. And he had a hard hit rate north of 40%. He did all that while having good contact skills, too, a 78% contact rate and 82% in-zone contact rate with a 25% chase rate. Everybody thinks this is an elite power speed profile because he stole 35 bases. I would pull back a little bit on the speed. My clock times on Arias are average at best, maybe below average. He's kind of a clunky runner. He stole bases against bad catching. I would not give a rip about stolen base totals in the complex and single A, just being honest with you. I sit on single A and high A a lot, and catching's really, really bad. Pitchers cannot hold runners. Stolen bases does not, and in the lower levels especially, does not mean they're going to steal as they move up. Still, Arias has a lot to like in that profile. Really good bat, potent bat at that. I think he's going to grow into some more power this year, and he already had good power. This next guy, I think, also made some good improvements. That's George Lombard Jr. with the New York Yankees. Started slow, continued to rise throughout the year. His slash line wasn't great, 231, 338, 334. He had 5 home runs and 32 extra base hits. I mean, it just didn't look good, but the underlying stuff suggests a little better. 102.7 ninth percentile and an average EV north of 88 miles an hour. Contact rates were fine. I mean, a little better. You like to see better end zone. It was 73% overall, 76% end zone. But he's patient. He doesn't chase and he walks. Lombard went to high A to end the year. I still like the profile with Lombard. I think that he's got the traits of a good athlete and a good shortstop that you want to see really pop off. Yoelis Cespedes, another Red Sox, sticking with this rivalry here, Red Sox, Yankees, Red Sox. Cespedes was probably going to be higher on this list if he had not got hurt. He broke his hamate literally as he got up to single A, Salem, which really sucked. He was dominant in the DSL in 2023. And he dominated again at the complex last year, 319, 400, 615 with 5 home runs and 10 doubles and a triple. It was an 80% contact rate. It was really good exit velocities as well. He's maxed out north of 110. And he made a 3-mile-an-hour jump on his exit velocities from 2023 to 2024. All while improving the chase rate. That's pretty substantial. He does damage. He puts the ball in the air. He pulls the ball. Cespedes checks every box you want to see. Last guy I want to talk about here is Bryce Matthews, who's an incredible athlete. Matthews, I mean, he was a football player. He was going to play quarterback in Nebraska, too. Analytic darling in the draft in 2023. very high exit velocities, really low chase rates. Contact's always been the question, and that was the case again. But he struggled in his pro debut in 2023. There were some concerns, and he stepped in 2024 and kind of answered some of those questions. 265, 384, 481 slash, 15 homers, 32 stolen bases. He had a 106 mile an hour ninth percentile exit velocity. That's plus power for sure. He has hits the ball at ideal launch angles. The biggest concern is the contact. I mean, you look, and the contact rates were bad. 66% overall, low end zone. I mean, the end zone was respectable, I think around 80%, but he's also a little bit passive. He had a low swing rate on pitches in the zone and 39% overall swing rate. The good news is 17% chase rate will absolutely play. So it's a questionable profile. Can Bryce Matthews hit enough breaking balls? And the numbers aren't great against him. And can he make enough contact overall? If he does, this is a special athlete that can play third or short, and he's got really big pop too. So a lot to like with Bryce Matthews. We're going to wrap it up there. This has been part two of the shortstop prospects to know for 2025. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you enjoyed the video, like and subscribe to the channel. I would really appreciate your support as I look to grow more video content this year.